The intro is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, pre-roll, better than the post-roll.
Oh, that's pretty good. Welcome back to the Bad Gamecast. This is Jake.
I'm Jason.
Oh my god, could you do that slower? This time we played Asura's Wrath.
Asura.
Asura?
I don't actually know because I don't have the volume. Never had the volume on. How does they say it?
Asura.
Okay.
But like, I think at least one of them says Asura, and then like they say it different because sometimes it's Asura and sometimes it's Asura.
Asura. Got it.
Asura. Released February 2012. Developed by CyberConnect 2. Published by Capcom. Other games that came out in 2012 we covered in Blades of Time, but also Dishonored, Borderlands 2, and Call of Duty Black Ops, the sequel. Which may or may not be the same games that I said for Blades of Time. I don't remember.
Who knows? This game is kind of a weird one. Slightly weird for us. It's not as weird as some of the other ones we've done, where its reception was fairly mixed. It actually has some really high reviews. It does also have really low ones as well.
Yeah, yep.
I think it's a very kind of split game, which I get.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, this is like, if you look this up, you can see a lot of critical reception of people praising this game. But that isn't why we did it. We did it because this is one of those magic games that we don't get to do all that often. They just didn't sell that well.
Yeah, so despite its mixed reception and my feelings towards the game and Jake's feelings towards the game, it still managed to not do well. Like, no matter how much you like or dislike it, it didn't really move copies.
Yeah, no.
So it was definitely a failure of some regard and potentially a failure of all the regards. Depending on who you talk to, some people definitely think this game is very good, which I disagree with. But we'll get exactly into that here as Jake has to go through the story because I skipped all of it.
Oh, man. I really should have prepared more then. And I just want to say, you fucking stink, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My fucking eyes are watering over here. Yeah, if I knew that I was going to be going through the story, I would have typed this out in a much more cohesive fashion.
Sure.
I'm going to be pulling notes from the Wikipedia entry for the story. I did play all the way through it. This is my note-taking. We will cover why I did it this way at the end. Oh my god, I'm not even sure where to begin. I suppose the start of the game. So the game opens up with a battle between the demigods out in space with their floating space armada and the invading sort of Goma, these large orange monster things, and a crazy ass variety of them, all shooting outward from the surface of the planet towards the armada.
Yeah, like if you don't start speaking, I am going to start making stuff up.
As fun as that would be. Well, like, we can get through this pretty quickly. I'm just trying to, like, pick out plot points. So, anyway, you play through a bit of the battle as the opening credits start to roll. You see the assorted demigods just tearing these dudes all apart. With a bunch of Asura, your rage beast, fucking shit up, along with Yasha, who is later revealed to be his brother-in-law, and the assembled demigods, there are seven of them, the seven deities, as they will later be known, take out the invading Goma, head on down to the planet for victory drinks or whatever at the capital, and to get some praise from Emperor Strata, the leader of the world?
I guess.
Yeah. So while this is going on, you're getting extra power from the priestess seated to the left of the emperor, who's just watching the battle unfold, who is Asura's daughter. She has the magic power of basically like focusing on someone and just giving them a boost.
Yep.
After the battle, down on the surface, the emperor wants to congratulate Asura. Asura is at home with his wife and his daughter, gets the summons, heads on over to see where the emperor is. In the throne room, he sees the emperor standing there all bloody. Emperor goes to fall. He catches him, covers himself in the emperor's blood, right as people walk in and start deciding that Asura is a traitor and he murdered the emperor. Oh no!
You committed regicide. We're going to execute you now.
Yes, no ifs, ands, or buts on what happened. no one saw what happened to them. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Asura fights his way through the assembled troops, the big old Buddha dudes, the little monkey guys and their bullshit flowers, and fights his way through the assembled guards to, where does he make it to? Like the side of the castle when he's confronted by the other six deities?
Yeah.
With his daughter there in this weird capsule because she was taken. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's where you go to punch the mask off, mask face.
Yeah. You don't get to. Big boss of all the deities, Deus steps in, zaps the shit out of him, some lightning, basically tells him to get fucked, you're dead, kid, and then throws him from the side of the castle down through the clouds, and it kills him.
Blech. Game over.
You're done. Okay, this game has like a fake out later on that fucked with me.
Sure.
So it cuts to Asura hanging off the side of this giant pillar in what do you call it? Naraka? Naraka, like the limbo before you get
It's limbo. It's where if your soul is not like at rest, you well for sure he can still come back. Like if he passes all the way through to the bottom, which is like a black void, that's dead.
So, Asura is just hanging onto the side, unconscious, and this little golden spider comes down. Wait, no, the spider's name's Naraka. Anyway, the spider's basically just taunting him. Like, hey, idiot, you died. And Asura, in his head, hears the sound of a baby screaming, which makes him start to rage climb. And then he climbs all the way to the top and breaks through. And you get a nice little thing that says 1,200 years later?
12,000.
12,000 years later. In the time that Asura's been dead, the world has changed. Go figure.
Odd. It's like things happen every 12,000 years.
No, the place is Naraka.
Yep.
So Asura, back up on the surface, back in the land of the living, is wandering around. And he is confronted by Wizen, one of the seven generals who are now the seven deities. After the seven generals took out the Goma that was invading from the planet. The Goma live inside the planet?
Yeah, like the hyper Goma that is the thing that spawns the rest of them. Like, is the planet?
Yeah.
That thing is huge.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it's what? Like a couple tentacles that are thrashing about while you're being attacked by a bunch of little shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the big tentacle thing is the main threat, and you've got all these little Gomas that go around killing people and whatnot. The Wizen sees that you're there. Goes to confront you and is telling you, this is where I was at, blah, 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 that after defeating the Goma the last time, Asura was branded as a traitor for murdering the Emperor. Deus took over. Everything's been going fucking swimmingly for them since then. They have elevated themselves from demigods to full-on gods because suck it. And that Asura being back just means that Wizen has to kill him, and he proceeds to attempt to flex all over him. Asura, though, is just made of anger.
Yeah.
So as that fat-bearded asshole is talking to you, you have the option for, and I love this about the game, every single person that monologues at you have the option to cut him short and just punch him in the fucking face. No idea what any of them said because they started talking. It's fist time. Bam.
It's mostly just them talking down to you from what I can tell.
Makes sense.
And or talking themselves up.
So proceed the fight. And I say fight, it's really kind of an ass whooping as you beat the shit out of this guy who is large. He has his right arm is the size that he is.
Yeah, it's got this big like shield built into it.
Yeah.
That is basically the same size as him.
So when Asura shows up, Goma are attacking, and he fights off the Goma, which is why Wizen shows up to also fight off the Goma. Only when he gets there, he's less interested in fighting off the Goma as he is murdering everything, because if he kills the people, he can harvest their souls. Asura is like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like, eh, fuck you, Asura. And that's when they start fighting. So you beat him up, you grab him by his big fat head, you just scrape it on the ground, and then casually toss him over a cliff like the bitch that he is. Only when he's down there, he, I don't know, does some weird jutsu shit and ends up being 500 feet tall.
And he goes Super Saiyan 1.
Yep. He then tries to smush you and then fails miserably. And as he goes to swat you down, Asura jumps through his hand, doesn't break all the way through. Or no, he jumps through his stomach. Doesn't break all the way through, but it causes the fat guy to rubber band out into space. Looks like Team Rocket's blasting off again. Bye-bye.
And then he goes Super Saiyan 2.
And then he goes Super Saiyan 2, where using the assembled power of the souls that they have been collecting for the last 12,000 years, turns into his god form. He is larger than the planet.
Yep.
His finger is the size of a fucking continent, which he uses to try and squish Asura.
Yep, just finger on the map. Pew!
Yep. It comes in just like burning red hot as it breaks through the atmosphere and fucking clouds shooting out of the way. Asura, in his rage form, grows multiple arms. It's what he does. We'll get into that. Catches his big ass finger and then punches him so hard that he fucking disintegrates.
Yeah. Well, he Asura punches him so hard that his arms start exploding. And so he goes, one explode, two explode, three explode, four explode, five explode. And with his last punch, punches him so hard that he, the other dude disintegrates. And then you have no arms, which is important. It's not, but because then you fight, what's his name?
Yasha.
Yeah. Yasha without arms.
As the other generals, deities at this point, see Wizen turn into his god form, wonder what this shit, see Asura there, and then watch Wizen die, they send Yasha. When Yasha gets there, yep, Asura has no arms, and he is less than pleased to see his brother-in-law standing there, who just talks some shit.
Yeah, that's mostly what people do.
Yasha then cuts him in fucking half.
Yep.
You should be dead, stay dead. You're done.
He cuts you in half and throws you in lava.
Yep. Cut back to a limbo world where Asura's hanging there and the golden spider's like, eh, you gotta fuck that up, didn't you?
Died again.
And up he climbs. This time, it's only been 500 years. Hooray! Cut to a village in the northern recesses of wherever the fuck they are. This little snowy village with this girl praying to the rock that Asura's in.
He is visible. So she's basically praying to him. But he's, like, weirdly trapped inside rock.
Yeah, like, he's not moving. Hasn't for, you know, 500 years. Or however long, I guess, the rock has been there. But he did. She prays. He comes back, too. Just flexes himself on out of the rock. And then the little girl looks just like his daughter. He starts to walk off. She speaks to him in some language. He doesn't know what it is. Like, they can't understand each other. And as he's walking off, more Goma are starting to invade where they are. So he runs off to murder all the Goma.
Still working on killing the bad guys. This is when old Segway dude shows up.
Yep, Carlo. He's the old, I guess you don't really know how old any of them are, since I don't think they age, but yeah. He does look like a little old man that, like, sits on this Segway with, like, a T at the top, so, like, his legs are folded underneath him, so it kind of just looks like he floats along.
Yeah, he's, like, perched on this thing. It's weird.
Yeah. He is the deity's tactician.
Mm-hmm.
And from his fleet of ships high above the city, he just begins an orbital bombardment. Fuck all of these Goma, fuck all these people. That way he can collect their souls. Asura, as you might expect, is not having any of this bullshit and punches the ground so hard that he shoots up towards the ships because Asura skipped leg day. That cracked me up every time because he doesn't jump anywhere. He just punches the ground to get where he needs to be.
Well, he does jump sometimes, but if he needs to go far, he uses his fists. Jumps are short range. Punches are long range.
That makes sense. So jumping from ship to ship and using your bullshit long range attack, which we will talk about later.
Hey, you can like shoot energy projectiles out of your fists.
Yeah, you're a fucking god. It's whatever.
Yeah.
It's also not fun to use and it sucks. So you take out the smaller ships, you land on the bigger ships and you punch your way through those trying to get to that guy. You confront him. He talks some shit, you go to swing at him, but lols, it was just a hologram, and he shoots off in an escape pod, which Asura runs after him, and then catches. And then while the guy's pleading for his life, Asura just crushes it, with the guy still inside.
Yeah, you just straight, like, tin can crush this rocket ship.
Does he lose his arms again here? I mean, he loses his arms, like, fucking every other episode.
No, because then you move into the bathhouse is the next bit.
Ah, right, right, because you fall
yeah.
after the escape pod explodes. And you are awoken by your former master, this fucking beast of a dude who carries a katana with him in a bathhouse. And then cut to the onsen episode.
Ed straight up is just like, well, we need an onsen episode.
And so those two reminisce for a bit. They have some drinks, they sit in a hot tub. You stare at some boobs for a second.
Did you pick all the options?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're obviously, like, in a proper onsen, you're not wearing anything. So one of the options is to stand up, and it's awkward.
Yeah.
As you do that, and then the girl, like, looks you up and down really slowly, and you're like, this is really not a cutscene I was hoping for.
Yep, but I don't know what I was expecting, but, yeah. While your master, oh no, what's his name? August.
Yeah.
Just, like, turns away, and he's like, Rose.
Until eventually you get drunk enough to try to make a move on the lady serving you alcohol.
Yeah.
And you get punched.
Yeah. Yeah, he fucking knocks him right out. So when you come to and it's fight time, where do they fight?
Well, you know, if you're gonna fight, why would you fight anywhere normal?
Yeah.
Because the moon's a pretty good place to fight.
Yep. They have their duel on the fucking moon. So blows are traded back and forth. August, who is easily three times the size of Asura.
Yeah.
Gets some blows in. Asura gets some blows in. August is talking about what a great fight it is. That's all he lives for.
Which they set up earlier in a couple of the cutscenes where, like, people are talking about the plans for trying to kill the Goma and stuff. And August the whole time is just, like, about the fight.
Yep. Up until now, you've had cutscenes with, and parts that you play where it's like back to Asura's training before he became one of the deities and he was just a normal demigod.
Yeah, they're like, what do you call it? Tutorial sections are flashbacks to you training with August.
Yeah, who talks about, like, he doesn't really care about ideals, and even in the onsen, or a hot spring, it talks to Asura about how they're the same. They just seek the next fight, a bigger, a better fight. That's all they want. And Asura's like, I want my fucking daughter.
Yeah, because while in the fight, Asura is fueled by rage, he does actually have, like, a family.
Yeah, well, had a family.
Yeah, then the gods took it from him.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
So, although everyone is impressed that August had to draw his blade because he's only ever drew it against one other opponent, Deus himself, he can apparently make the blade grow at will. So he charges at Asura, makes the blade grow, which Asura catches, it pierces through him, and then dude just keeps growing it and keeps running. Hops from the moon, breaks fucking orbit of the planet. The blade shoots all the way through the goddamn planet as he just continually drives it through him. Ah! And then, let's see. I don't remember how he gets out of that. Like, he, right, as it's in him, he breaks the sword in half.
Yeah, end up breaking the blade.
Yeah. He gets up and then uses that to cut August in half.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kills him with his own sword.
Which leaves the little girl wanders up at the fucking crater where they landed. Asura's hanging there without arms, both halves of August. There is a giant ass Goma lumbering somewhere in the background. Asura kicks the broken blade up, catches it with his teeth, and then runs off towards that thing because the fight ain't over.
Yeah, which August, when you kill him, is totally kind of chill about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. He's like, that was a good fucking fight.
Basically, he's like, that was fun. I'm dead now. Okay. I mean, that type of character is very stereotypical to anime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of what you expect.
Let's see. The little girl sees him run off. She can't keep up, so she wanders back to her village. Asura manages to find his way to that village, although I think accidentally, just as this is also being bombarded. Well, no, the goons show up.
Yeah.
And then all of the people are on the ground praying to the goons, who then begin to murder all of the people one by one.
To collect their souls.
To collect their souls.
Which, like, if you haven't gotten right now, that's the gods power themselves up by collecting the souls of people.
They also have a super weapon to take out the Goma, the big bads, once and for all. But it requires human souls to power and Asura's daughter to, like, channel it.
Yes, that's their end goal plan. Because in the beginning, you're told that the Goma can't be defeated when you're pre-everything. That the big Goma that pops out of the earth, like, you punch it square in its face, and it kind of, like, retreats into the planet again. And Yasha tells you, because you were like, man, I couldn't kill it. And Yasha's like, no one can kill the one that lives in the planet. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And so this is their, new plan to kill the one that lives in the planet. If they just, you know, harvest enough souls and use your daughter as, like, a focus crystal.
Yep. No problem.
No problems.
So, Asura comes up as these people are being murdered by the god's goons. The little girl is seeing this happening and is trying to get people to run away because clearly this isn't right. As Asura comes up, and then, because he doesn't have any arms, literally kicks the shit out of all of them. Way up in the clouds, there is Olga, another one of the seven deities, sees this happening, is like, fuck 'em. Begin bombing and takes out the city.
Yeah.
She misses Asura, but kills a little girl in the process. And he doesn't take that well.
No. I mean, he doesn't take much well.
He really doesn't, no. In seeing the little girl die, he goes beyond his rage form.
Yeah, he freaks the fuck out.
He freaks the fuck out so hard he becomes this, like, flaming rage demon.
That's the most accurate description, yeah.
Yeah. and then just starts shooting Olga's armada out of the sky from the ground. Olga is all hell to the no, and then wants to use the Brahmastra, the giant super weapon they have for the Goma, to take out Asura. Right, that's right here.
Yep, which is, you know, not a great idea.
No, it was basically meant to kill the planet, and Yasha, who is got her on like a video call, is like, fuck no, don't do that. And she's like, can't hear you, doing it anyway, fires it off. Only Asura kind of just catches it, which no one was prepared for. And then when the smoke clears, Yasha's gone and Asura isn't there.
Yeah.
Ah, right. Yasha isn't there because he sees it firing and then takes out a bunch of the power cells to stop the weapon.
Yep.
And then Asura isn't there when it stops firing anymore.
Doesn't get fired at like full blast or anything. Because he doesn't want them to waste all the precious souls.
Well, yeah, it took him 12,000 years to harvest all them shits. What, are they going to wait another 12,000 years?
I don't see what it matters.
They don't have that time.
Why not?
Because they know the Goma are, like, coming back.
And?
Which they have been. I don't know, man.
Like, they just keep putting them down before.
Well, yeah, but there's a massive attack coming, which had happened in the past.
Guess.
You know, the start of the game, I believe. And yeah. I think another time before then, too.
The start of the game, where you beat them the hell down?
Well, yeah, but not the big tentacles.
I mean, they do retreat back into the Earth.
Well, yeah, eventually.
After you punch them square in the face.
Repeatedly, yeah.
So they really just need Asura, right?
Yes. Deus sees Yasha done fucked up his shit and isn't pleased about it. He makes him report to Sergei, another one of the deities. Ugh, man, Sergei sucks.
Sergei.
Sergei is all about torturing people and just being a general shit. So there's a large Goma forest that are going to attack a large human city. Sergei's like, let's just bomb them and the city. Fuck them all. And Yasha's like, no, why would you do that? Sergei's like, to get them souls, bruh. Yasha is like, we don't need them. We're gods. We're supposed to protect these people. I don't know why he suddenly has a conscience.
Well, I think the whole point, the whole time they're trying to set it up Yasha as this, like, I don't know, how do you call it, like,
an unwitting accomplice, because he's kind of not really in on it.
Yeah, that he doesn't realize, like, he wants to be the good guy.
Yeah.
And he wants to defeat the Goma forever, and is willing to do most anything to do that, because that'll save the most people in the long run.
Yeah, and, like, collecting the souls of the dead to power their weapon, the ends justify the means there, but not the wholesale slaughter of an entire people.
But collecting the souls of the dead who die normally. Yasha's not about, you know, murdering a city just for some extra souls.
Yeah.
So it seems like he doesn't really realize that the other deities have just been, like, wantonly killing people.
I don't think that he does, because, and coming up real quick. So, Sergei tells Yasha he's got 5 minutes to stop this big-ass invasion, and Yasha knows he doesn't have the time to argue with him, heads down there to stop it himself. And Yasha, to his credit, puts a hurtin' on the invasion with his, like, fucking blades. Because Yasha just kind of fucks shit up. But there's more of them than there are of him, and he can only do so much. And even though Sergei said he'd give him 5 minutes, he lets him go for like a minute and then just bombs the city and then the Goma like an asshole.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, now that Yasha's not here to tell me not to, carpet bomb!
Yeah, it's at this point he realizes how fucked up the whole thing is. As Demon Form Asura shows up, Yasha proceeds to fight Demon Asura and do what he can to not get murdered.
Yeah, because it's not about winning against Demon Asura. It's about not dying yourself.
Yeah. As this is going on, Sergei comes down because he wants to get in on some of this hot action. Just look at this fucking mess. It's at this point Sergei reveals what had happened when the day the Emperor was killed. When Deus said it's time to execute Order 66, Sergei goes off to go get Asura's daughter, the priestess. The only problem being Asura's wife was there. Sergei kills his wife, gives his daughter the old chop so she comes along, and then takes them both. Now, that was Yasha's sister. This is news to Yasha. He was not aware of that. He didn't know that Sergei killed his sister. He was under the impression that his niece went along voluntarily. Like, they asked and she went, not she was fucking kidnapped.
Yeah.
So as Sergei is talking, Demon Form Asura has had enough and just fucking cuts him in half. But it's like, weird, because he gets fucked up here too, right?
So, I mean, Yasha, like, I guess somehow calms down Asura?
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he's like talking to him about like his family and how he's lost all control and like this isn't going to get anything done. And he finally snaps out of it and then comes back to his normal form.
Yeah, you know, he talks him down like Black Widow does to the Hulk.
Yeah.
Bam. Relevant.
It's soft kitty, warm kitty, whatever the fuck she does.
Yeah, the sun is going down, something, something, something.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, the only reason I know any part of that phrase is because of Thor Ragnarok when Thor tries it on the Hulk.
And so, yeah, the assembled dream team of Yasha and Asura head off to confront Deus. Because the whole thing's fucked, man. Deus is not having these impudent whelp shit.
Yeah.
And,
because Yasha finally argues that, like, killing trillions to kill the fucking Goma isn't actually saving anyone.
That's literally saving no one?
Yeah.
When you're murdering all the people to harvest their souls to take something, but now you have no one left to save because you've harvested them all.
Yeah. If you kill the planet to shoot a super laser to kill the giant thing inside the planet, you've already killed the planet.
Planet's dead, bro. We're done. Go on home. Yeah, so they fight after Asura and Yasha beat the ever-living shit out of Deus, but they don't kill him. The Goma's goddamn final form explodes out of the planet. And I don't mean like... I mean like half the planet erupts as all of these tentacles come out.
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure how much of the planet is planet and how much of it is Super Goma.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it feels like the planet is a shell around the Super Goma.
Yeah, right?
Because that thing is huge.
So Asura and Yasha see this happy horse shit going on. They free Asura's daughter. Everyone's looking at the giant mass of tentacles and flaming death that are now approaching. Deus is like laying in a corner somewhere and he tells everyone to get fucked and then dies. I believe his final words were like, "I was right, it was the only way, fuck you guys."
Basically, I'm the only one that could save the world. Blech.
Yeah. Asura and Yasha jump from the Brahmastra, the giant floating statue in space.
Yep.
Which is now all torn apart from them trying to get to it. And proceed to fight the large Goma by blasting the ever-loving shit out of it. Now, while they're doing this, his daughter, Asura's daughter, does her thing and gives them some extra juice.
Yeah.
Which, just like, I forget how it's represented with Yasha, but like Asura, because his like normal form is two arms, and then when he gets powered up, he has what, six?
Six.
Yeah, so her channeling energy into him makes him a hundred-handed one.
Yep.
Which then all coalesce into both his arms and they just get giant and beefy. And some shit probably happens to Yasha too, but who cares? And then you literally punch your way through the face of that stupid tentacle beast and end up in the core of the planet. Where you now get to fight King Chimera, or whatever his name is.
I honestly don't know.
The, like, I can't say lead, because I don't think, like, he doesn't lead them. He's just, like, the main Goma.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, like, the source of the Goma, or what.
Either way, that thing at the core of the planet.
Yeah.
And then you fucking tear him in half, with your massive fucking arms.
Big, beefy arms.
And then you float off into space, and you and Yasha are back with your, with his daughter. And that's the end. And thus you count the DLC, which neither was played.
Yeah, there was a DLC that adds something to the story. I'm not sure what, but I didn't play it. A
couple episodes, I believe. And sure. Because I had to get the game to you to play it, I was going to check and see how much the DLC was. If it was more than free, I don't know. Actually, I don't think it was. I think in order to unlock like the next one, you had to get 5 gold medals, which I didn't have by the time I got the game to you.
Yeah.
Which is whatever. If I was that interested in it, I could have just looked up on YouTube. We only do base game, god damn it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't out when it released.
So that's the basic story. The gameplay itself is very bad. Most levels consist of you fighting small enemies, sometimes slightly larger enemies, until you fill up, you have like a rage meter.
Yep.
And once it's full, you can hit, is it right trigger?
Yes.
To burst, and then that literally just takes you to the next stage, basically.
Yeah, it's your end the fight and cue the next cutscene button.
Yep, which is like, that's, if you keep fighting, off because they have to give you enough rage, the enemies will just keep spawning forever. Yeah, no,
they don't stop.
Until you click the go to next scene button.
Yeah, no, that's... Gameplay is an interesting one on this one. And by interesting, I mean repetitive and boring. You get quick time events mid-battle and in some cutscenes. And then, yeah, all of the fights, because it's technically a beat-em-up, are just hit enough things to fill this meter, hit the trigger, move on to the next scene.
Yep, that's it.
The combat is not complex. It is normal attack, heavy attack.
You have a dodge roll, a jump.
And if you hold the normal attack, then you do the ranged. But you have to stand still, and you basically become a turret.
Yeah, yeah. Which so the ranged attack is just fuck all useless.
Yeah, and then once you get a separate meter filled all the way, your special attack, or your heavy attack, becomes like a special attack.
Yeah, and you can spam it.
Yeah, because you get that meter filled, and then you can just use it until it runs out.
Yep.
So, like, weakened enemies have a special animation that you take them out with, which are, like, some are kind of entertaining.
True, but, like, there's a few sections, and they're it's funny because they're basically repeated, where you're, like, flying or falling, and there's a bunch of things for you to shoot, and you just, like, fall through the air shooting using your ranged attack.
Yeah, you move on in two dimensions and just shoot stuff.
Yeah. Of course, you move and you move the reticle to shoot things with the same stick, which is not great.
No, no. And if it was a whole game like that, that'd be fucking weird. Yeah. Instead, it's just interspersed sections throughout the game. Doesn't make it better. Still a weird choice.
Yep. There's a couple sections where you're, I guess, also 2D'd, where you're like flat. You can only move side to side and jump. And you have to like shoot stuff in the distance.
Yep.
All of the shooting sections are not good.
No.
Because they have to like start removing dimensions because of the whole, remember, when you shoot stuff, you can't move. Because in three-dimensional space, it really doesn't work all that well.
No.
Yeah. And that's like, that's the end of the gameplay description because it just repeats that.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, so the entire game is broken up into episodes, including a pre-roll, what's about to happen, the game, or like the quote-unquote episode, complete with commercial break at the midpoint, and then end credits and on the next episode.
Yep.
Which is an interesting choice, considering the episodes start to finish are, what, maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah, some of the early ones are really short.
And like, depending on how long the combat sections take you, yeah. But you're still like, I think you're sitting around 10 minutes on average for all of them.
There are episodes that I know I completed in 3 minutes.
Yeah, but there are some that were like 15, 20.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because the like there's a lot going on in the cutscenes.
So, like, it's a weird choice. And as you said, the actual episodes are not that long. It is, both you can probably tell from the story and just kind of the way it plays out, it is very anime.
Oh my God, yeah, it is.
It is incredibly over the top and just like, it's an anime.
Yeah, it was made, it is presented like, it feels like an anime. That there are gameplay sections to make it a game. Yeah. I thought I had more to add there. I do not.
No. And that's the, you know, what you see a lot in newer game design, there's no choices to be made. It's there to tell a story, and that's the story it's telling. It's more interactive media than it is game, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, it's an odd thing.
And, like, kind of only because of the QTEs.
Yeah.
But in a cutscene, those don't affect an outcome.
Correct.
That just gives you a score.
A score that doesn't end up mattering. So, like, it's really not.
See, I'm torn on the QTEs because, like, without them, like, they're there because it's more engaging. And, like, I kind of dislike the more mid-combat quick-time events, like when there's a missile coming at you and you can quick-time, like, throw it back, more than in the cutscene because then it was, like, you're paying attention.
Some of them are required to, like, advance the cutscene, which those are my favorite because you can just not do them and you can just sit there for, like, 3 minutes in the middle of action.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like the ones where you're crushing what's his name in the tin can.
Yeah.
You have to move the sticks together like you're moving your arms together. But if you don't do it, it just sits there. Nothing happens until you crush him. There's no more dialogue. You're just there.
Even he's waiting like,
Yeah, I believe I've gone on record many times on this podcast. I do not like QuickTime events.
Yeah.
I don't find them interesting or engaging in any way. And they're like, hey, this will keep you interested in the cutscene. Does not keep me interested in cutscene. In fact, it pulls me out of most cutscenes.
Sure.
As soon as they're like, do this thing. And I can't pay attention anymore.
Oh, I didn't, like, I don't particularly find it engaging, but I get why it's there to do that, which I think is a weird choice when I personally felt like what was happening on screen didn't require me to pay any more attention because I was in on it. Just how anime and fucking over the top it is. And the whole game is stylized, like has it's cel shaded, right?
It's definitely like a non-traditional how you would animate something.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely has its own visual style.
Yes, yeah. Which I dug. Like, I thought it was really pretty. Pretty is kind of weird. I think it looks really good what they did with what they had.
Yeah, I mean, for when it came out, I definitely think it would have been pretty well regarded in terms of art direction and style.
Yeah. Along with the art direction, you can tell the, what is it, Hindu and Buddhist inspiration they drew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have enemies that are straight up a giant golden Buddha. Asura gains arms, so, like, he looks like, what am I thinking of, like, Kali or Ganesha. Like, they've got a few arms, right? Four, I think. Kali has six. Or, like, their giant super weapon, which is Siddhartha.
Yep.
And they call it the Brahmastra. I mean, like, it's not everything, but certainly you can see the inspiration for that. In between episodes, you get, like, little written bits from all over. One of them is a dialogue between some of the soldiers following Asura, and they see him on his own, and it's a conversation between them, like, I'm not going up to him. Like, he's just going to kill us. Because, yes, that is exactly what he would do. Let's just follow him and report back. And it's, like, little shit like that from all over.
Yeah, and they're like, stills? Because they're more like a manga, little type things going.
They also have different artists for each one.
Yeah.
So, like, the styles are very different, and I thought that was really neat. But also, as you get more snippets of the world and nothing presented to you explains stuff, like, the demigods, which are... And they're like cyborgs because Asura's arms are like robotic and he loses them all the fucking time. Or like you cut Sergei in half and like he's just like, well, they all bleed this like bright orange shit, but like he's got wires and shit hanging out of him and sparking and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as far as I can tell, they never go into the actual background of the world.
No.
You're just demigods. You're robots, but you're demigods.
No, see, and it's, I like that because it doesn't matter for what's happening. And
true.
It builds to a mystery of the world that you can try and piece together in your own head. In some of those interstitial bits, it talks about there being other demigods, which makes sense, I guess. Because, like, you don't know where they came from. You don't know how they got so powerful. Asura's daughter is technically a demigod, right? Isn't that how demigods work?
Kinda.
But there are other ones. They're just not, like, as powerful as they are, and they're just like living out in the general populace. And so, like, when a place gets carpet bombed, they die right along with everybody else. And like, they mention it and you don't like see it, and it's those weird little world building stuff that I really dug. It's cool.
Yeah, so it's an interesting game. I think that's most of the game. It's not a very long game.
No.
Personally, for me, I didn't particularly enjoy my time with it. I don't like the gameplay that it presented. The repetitive brawler and my hatred for QuickTime events really won me over here. I didn't like some of the, like, post-cap and recap parts. Like, even if it wanted to be super anime, it, like, playing out exactly like an anime felt like a weird choice, as well as the, yeah...
Yeah, that is weird, because you go, like, it isn't like there's an episode of something else in between, or, like, you'll catch it tomorrow or fucking next week. Like, you're playing it right now.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, the first thing they do in a chapter is literally show you cutscenes from later in the chapter. And it's not like they're different at all. They're literally just the cutscenes that you'll sit through later.
Yeah, just with some lady's VO over the top of it.
Yeah. It's odd. Like, it's super committed to this bit. I personally don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't care for the preamble. I don't like that in anything that I'm watching, because I'm gonna watch the fucking episode. Don't tell me what's happening.
Right? Like, that's what I'm about to do. Why would I want to know how the fight goes?
Yeah, and I don't mind, you know, on the next episode, but in the way that it's presented, I'm about to do that. You don't need to tell me.
Yeah.
Also, there's a part, was it the end of the first section when Asura gets killed by Yasha again? And then it's just like game over, starts rolling credits. And I was like, oh, what the fuck?
So, yeah, I think that's my summary, is that I think it's a really interesting concept that they kind of, they whole scale went for, but I don't think is a great way to present this media. So I really didn't enjoy my time with it, and I really wouldn't necessarily suggest playing it, because it's not fun.
Yeah, see, I agree with some points that you made. The gameplay sucks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. It is repetitive and boring, but the quick time events didn't bother me. Not like some of the early God of Wars where it was so quick time heavy that like your thumb would be worn out after playing for an hour. It's not that bad. It could do without it. And I do agree that the medium that they chose to present the story in is an odd choice. I would much rather just watch Asura's Wrath the anime, but I really like this game. The gameplay sections, while boring and repetitive, were short enough, and I found the story engaging enough that I didn't mind playing through it for a few minutes to move on to the next scene just to see what happens. And as far as an anime goes, it's not doing anything new or crazy. If you've seen this kind of anime before, you know what's going to happen, and that's okay. I didn't mind it. Like, I can't say that I like that about it. Like, you know, I always want new and exciting things, but I think what it does well, and it does it over the top, and the voice acting's done really well, and it's stylized, it looks nice while it's doing it. And I had fun. This game has been on my radar for a while, not for the podcast, just because it was something that I wanted to play. Alex, former co-host, told me about this game years ago. He's like, you should play this game. It's fucking amazeballs. And I watched him play a bit of it with a Wizen. And some dude becoming larger than the planet and then trying to crush you is the first fucking boss fight. Holy shit. And I there was more stuff that I wished from the game, like to see the god forms of everybody else. Because, you know, like what crazy shit are they going to do? And it doesn't give you that. And that's kind of good because that means there's not a lot of extra shit to it. The game moves along at a steady clip. There aren't that many episodes, and then it ends. You're done. And I liked it. Another thing I like about this game is that you can find it used cheap, because it's from 2012. And so if you like over-the-top-ass anime, fuck yeah, play this game. There's no reason not to. And, like, got a free weekend? Bet you do. This'll take that. Like, it's what, 6-10 hours?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And I'd feel like I got my money's worth out of it, whatever I paid.
Yeah. So yeah, it's that thing. And now we transition into letters from listeners.
Listeners.
Listeners. Like this listener.
Hey.
All right. So this is going to be a slightly longer one. Hey guys, first I wanted to say that I showed Mrs. Britt. Oh, this is from Mr. Britt, by the way.
Oh. Wait, Mrs. Britt?
Yeah.
Oh.
That you had responded to my emails to you, and in nearly 3 years of marriage, I honestly don't think she's been more proud of me. Which we have to address that statement right there.
Aim higher, my man.
Seriously. Mr. Britt, I don't know you. I don't know your life. But there is a lot more to be proud of than us numbskulls.
That being said, I'm like, you know, I'll take the compliment. Thanks, man.
My question this time around is an evolution of the last quickfire round, which was not that many episodes ago, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Anyway, with regards to games, music, movies, do you have a favorite guilty pleasure?
Not really, because I wear the crap that I like pretty openly. Even the bad stuff. Like, I will go on about my love for Fleetwood Mac. Don't care what you think.
I don't think Fleetwood Mac is typically considered, like, bad.
We run in different circles.
What? What? What is happening?
I have had people give me shit that I like Fleetwood Mac. I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Rumor is a solid start to finish. Fight me. I mean, don't really fight me. I'm not going to fight you over Fleetwood Mac. I don't care.
We run in very different circles. I enjoy occasional just like genuinely terrible garbage like comedies for movies.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you just sit down and watch Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yep. Sometimes you watch Tomcats.
Sometimes you sit down and watch Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Don't. I did, because I often enjoy horrible schlock, and I enjoyed the first one. Second one, much worse.
Well, sure, I haven't seen the second one. But it's like, how many people would we fucking talk about Neil Breen movies to? Like, people that would and wouldn't listen. We're just yelling at people.
Neil Breen is a goddamn treasure.
Yeah, I'm with you. A Walking Massacre. I don't know what the fuck is up with that dude. Goddamn weirdo. But his movies are a joy. A joy for all people of all time. You're welcome.
So I guess if you want to call watching the worst movies I can find a guilty pleasure, that.
So, yeah. Yeah, I guess that.
So, this is an odd one. Choice that wouldn't surprise people to know you like.
Video games?
Like, it's such a weird one. Because I'm not... The next one kind of comes into this as well. Because it's hard to tell exactly what presence I give off.
It's raw sexual energy.
I mean, behind that. because like
just a lot of facial hair.
I was talking with people when I was streaming on Twitch, and like I can't remember what got brought up, but I was like started talking about something, and they were very confused that like I was really knowledgeable about it, and I was Magic the Gathering. It might have been.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
And it's like I've been playing Magic for over a decade.
Well, I think that was also because somebody hopped in and you were like 5 minutes into some conversation about drafting. I think it was a Storm deck.
Yeah.
And like you and somebody else are going back and forth on cards, and someone's like, who just joined the chat is like, what the fuck is happening?
So that maybe. I've played a lot of Magic in my time. Now, going forward, there's some Magic, less Magic, no Magic. I don't trust Wizards.
The right amount to trust Wizards?
Yeah. So I guess that's my pick.
Okay, stuff that people wouldn't be surprised I like?
Yeah. What, you basic?
Yeah, okay. I read a lot. That doesn't surprise anybody, I don't think. I read crap. I will read your dollar store pulp novel. I love old Westerns. I will read a fucking textbook if it's what I have to read. I've got more than a few on that shelf right now. Dry, boring-ass textbooks. I've got one that's like the history of the Far East, which was like first published in like 1873. The information is shitty and it's outdated. And I love that book. It is so boring. It is just the facts as they knew it. And then it's a lot of, I'm not going to get into it. It is not a good book. I don't recommend it for various reasons. But it does give some of the stuff that I like. I like a lot of folklore. I like a lot of history. So getting like religious information on Shintoism is super interesting, even if it's presented super fucking boring. But I can read.
And then the last part of this was choice that would surprise people to know you like.
Okay.
And this again comes down to, I'm not sure how I am outwardly presented. I think my choice of music is the most that kind of catches people off guard.
I can see that.
Because I listen to a lot of musicals and a lot of weird foreign music that I don't know the words to. And people will always go, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
All right, you've pulled that on me where it's like, hey, listen to this. How do you even describe them? This like Mongolian folk fucking indie something or other, which is an absolute banger. But out of the fucking blue, or what was it? It was like fucking Swedish pirate music or some shit.
Yep.
Like you drop some weird shit sometimes.
Because that's the stuff I listen to. So that, like, that catches people off guard. That, like, oh, wait, no, wait, you listen to that? I'm like, yeah, you know, between that and the Hamilton soundtrack for the 700th time.
Yep.
They're like, ah, okay.
So, well, let's see. People that know me.
And then I talk sports, and they're like, wait a minute.
Which is what I was about to say. I hate sports. It's come up more than a few times on the podcast. I don't know anything about sports. It does not interest me. I wish I had the patience to watch a season of baseball, but I do not. I don't care about the players. I don't care about their stats. I don't care what their names are. I mostly just want to watch a game and call it a fucking day. Or a season, or a decade, fucking whatever. I love boxing, though. Oh my god. And I don't watch boxing anymore. I used to. Every Friday, Friday Night Fights. I used to go to fights. There are people in my family that would box. Go and see them box. I love watching the fights. I love scoring it. I love just pugilism. It's fucking awesome. And when I'm out and about and in some of the like small talk people make, they'll talk sports and I look at them like a fucking deer in the headlights. I don't know what you're on about. And I intentionally wear like, because I'm from Iowa, I have Iowa sport team hats that I wear intentionally because I don't watch sports, just to see the look on people's face because it makes me laugh.
You know, the Hawkeyes.
Well, yeah. I could wear a Cyclones hat, but fucking, why?
I would confuse more people.
Yeah. You're right. I should just make something up. Who is that? Oh, the Jaguars. What? Tell them it's the Bulldogs because everyone loves Drake. I'm not wearing a Drake hat. I'm just kidding. Who's you and I? The Panthers, right?
Yeah.
Wow, no shit.
I think that's right.
Hey, crushed it. I don't know. I got sidetracked. I was thinking about kitties.
I'm double checking.
Ah, right. But yeah, like I don't watch sports. I don't care. I don't find it interesting. I don't particularly want to watch people get paid millions of dollars to sit around and not do much and then whine because they got hurt. Fuck you. Dance for my entertainment, monkey. That's what you get paid for. Which, like, if you're playing football and you get a serious injury, like, that's really fucked up. And, like, I hope you do good. But, like, if you sprained your fucking pinky finger or whatever, get over it.
Yeah, they're the Panthers. I knew they were a cat. Wasn't, yeah. And then finally... And this is going to be a disaster. I'm going to say something, and then either you get a guess or you get to take your chance at saying this. And I believe that this bastard tried to spell it basically phonetically.
Oh my god, that ruins you! Mr. Britt, I love you. That's fan-fucking-tastic.
So this is the Cockney Rhyming Slang Challenge. Oh boy, how do I even... Just a shay... Say Robin Hood Donald Duck to you, and of the listeners during this oh god, bizarre nickel and dime of sickness, take care of yourselves and hope you ain't gone to sixes and sevens. So that just happened to your ears. And I'm just going to hand this to Jake, and right, like, you're just staring at it like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, yeah. No, and wrote it out exactly like it sound.
Yep.
I ain't reading this out. You did too good. It was spectacular.
Yeah, I nailed it 100%.
Yeah, Jesus. Let me try and pick this shit apart. All right. Bizarre nickel and dime of sickness. Nickel and dime is all time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rhyming slang might be for nickel, but...
I think it's just nickel and dime is time.
And that's common for American parlance, too, where they talk about prison sentences being in, like, nickels, dimes, or quarters.
Yeah, and, you know, that one's not too out there. So what is Robin Hood?
Robin Hood, Donald Duck?
Yeah, that.
Robin Hood doing good?
I don't know.
I'm trying to break it down from, like, what would be context in a sentence, and right? I don't know what Donald Duck is.
Good luck?
Oh, yeah. All right, so what's... I'll go into sixes and sevens.
I don't actually know what that one is. At all. Like, that... It just ends on this weird numbers, and I'm like, cool, 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 cool.
Oh, my god, I don't know. Also, I love, and finally, your Cockney rhyming slang challenge. That's so fucking good.
So, if you have other questions, comments, concerns, or Cockney rhyming slang challenges, you can email thebadgamecast @gmail.com.
Mr. Brett, thank you. That was amazeballs. Also, if you want to, like, actually break Jason, spell everything out phonetically. Don't type out the words. He can't handle it, and it's so funny. It's like, I don't know, when you put mittens on a cat, they're not sure what to do with it. Like, they just kind of sit there and freeze.
All right, so real fun backstory to my life and how I, like, learned things. Basically, how I learned language, according to people who have asked me questions.
16 years ago when you came from the Rock.
Yeah. They asked me a ton of questions, and they had me repeat sentences and read things and stuff. Was basically that I learned by just memorizing words. Not like reading words, but just simply by memorizing what a word looks like to what it sounds like it means.
Mm-hmm.
So when you change that, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, my oldest daughter used to do that. Do you know how long it took to break her of that? She still tries. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, I can't. I can't read like a normal person, which is why you do this and all of a sudden I'm just like...
I don't think that's fair. Like, I think some people struggle with things written out phonetically. I've never seen anybody not handle it like you do, though.
I cannot do it.
It is maybe the most impressive thing about you. I don't understand. So good. Like, I know I said it before where I was sending you passages from a patois Bible just to watch you try and read it. That was funny.
Nope, not a thing. So, yeah, that's that. And as I said, any questions, comments, concerns... Email thebadgamecast@gmail.com. Also, anything else ever, anywhere, The Bad Gamecast. We're on Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, Twitch. It's Monday through Thursday, starting around 6 p.m. Eastern.
You can come join us in the Discord.
There's a Discord.
The link is in the podcast and YouTube descriptions.
Yep. And as always, thank you to all the people who support us on Patreon.
Patreon peeps, you the bestest. And I promise never to say that again.
Thank you.
I like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, for the Bad Game Cast, I've been Jake.
I've been Jason.
Good night, everybody.
I'll just kill myself. Not because of the bad games, because of this motherfucker.
Just the rhyming slang was too much.